Amen. Well, if you're here for the first time or you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, maybe you've been on holiday, we started a series called The Shape Course, which really looks at how God has made us, how God has shaped us, how he continues to shape us in our lives, and what that might mean for us, and the way that we live and work and serve and bless in the world that we live in and the places that we live in. And this is at week three of the Shape Course, and we're going to be discovering how God has shaped our heart. The way God has shaped you and the way he's shaped your heart is unique. It's unique to you, so that you can make a unique contribution into the world that is good, that's God's good for the world. And when we think about what the work of Christ is, what the work of God is in the world, it is to restore us and the world back into the goodness of creation, the way it was meant to be. And God has stuff for you to do and stuff for me to do that brings about the goodness of God. And he does that through us, often by the way he's made us or shaped us, including what he's placed in our heart, our passions. God has stuff for you to do. It's his plan. He has plans for you. And discovering your shape will bring about a new purpose for you in life, a new fulfillment as you begin to live out that God-given shape. How has God shaped our heart? And so what we hope for you this morning is that you begin to hear your heartbeat, the heartbeat of God in you, discovering the God-given purposes and desires of your heart. So let's go straight into the reading from Psalm 37 this morning. We're just going to read the first seven verses for now. It says this: do not fret because of those who are evil, or be anxious of those who do wrong. So maybe you feel like that sometimes. You know, you look around you, look around the world, and you think, well, where is the goodness? Where is the good? And Psalm says, well, don't fret, for like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they'll soon die away. Instead, trust in the Lord and do good. Do your bit. Rather than worrying about what everyone else is doing, you do good. Trust God. Dwell in the land, whatever land you're in, and enjoy safe pastures. And then this is the key verse for us today. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Then it goes on, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He'll make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. He'll do something in you that will shine. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. So don't fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. So you see what he's doing? He's inviting us to stop kind of always looking out and look at the awful stuff that's happened, but rather to discover how God has shaped us so that we can do the good that he's called us to do. My journey to hear my heartbeat, my spiritual heartbeat, what God has placed in my heart, has taken all kinds of different roads and turns and hills and valleys as I've discovered the God-given desires of my heart. Those things that God has placed in my heart, they're God-given passions that then drive us to live in particular ways or in particular situations. So I thought I'd share some of my own story this morning of life with Jesus and following him and the ways in which he's deposited things in my heart. He's shaped passions in my heart. And so I want to share some key moments with you for me. So I came to faith in Jesus on the 16th of September, 1990. I share that spiritual birthday with two other people in the congregation, as far as I'm aware. But Jesus became real for me. And I discovered that all that I had heard for years was true, in spite of the fact that I'd denied him, walked away from him, blanked him, turned the other way, gone my own way. On the 16th of September, 1990, That's when I discovered Jesus was real. And my mum was so excited because I had been a nightmare of a son. Was so excited that she threw a party after the service on a Sunday evening at her house. And after the, you know, late, I don't even know what time it was that people began to leave, because they were delighted that something had changed in my life as well. But afterwards, it was just mum and I sitting in the front room. And I just looked over towards her and says, "Mum, I have no idea what's happened, but I feel so much love in my heart that I don't know what to do with it." And she looked straight back at me and she said, "Son, give it away." I'll never forget it. Give it away. Such a simple, straightforward comment. But my goodness, so profound. God had deposited something of his love in my heart. And what was my response? Thankfulness, yes, but how do I share this? How do I give this? How do I love in the way God has loved me? And I really, from that moment on, took on a different heart, because my heart was inward focused just on me. And I began to see the world differently. I began to see people differently. I remember being on trains and buses and looking around at people that I didn't even know and feeling a rush of divine love in my heart for the people who were around me. I attended a church in the East End of Glasgow in Parkhead. And when I saw the community of Parkhead in a completely different way. I was 19 years of age, so I was a young person myself. I was a youth. And so I saw the young people in the community. I saw the young people in our church. And so I just knew that God had given me a heart and a passion for them. So that's what Carolyn and I did. We invested our life. She's one of the other people who shares that spiritual birthday. Same day, same place, same point. We both came to faith. And so we just started to serve and reach out to young people and seek to bless them and love them and embrace them. Because it's tough being a young person. I saw everything with a different heart, different eyes, different view of the world. And for about 3 years, till 1993, we just served and led and loved. I worked in finance at the time. And I decided that I was going to make a move to study theology. I had no idea why. If you don't know what theology is, it's the study of God, the Bible. And I thought, I'm clearly not cut out to be in finance. I'll go and study. And I thought I might be, an RE teacher or something like that. And so from 1993 to 1996, I was studying theology, divinity at Glasgow University, and still serving with the young people at our local church. And then a guy came to our church who was an associate pastor, and he himself had come out of addiction and had been in recovery for a number of years, and he had an incredible way of just walking around the streets of Parkhead and just stopping and talking to everybody and anybody, but particularly those in addiction. We started working with Teen Challenge. They would bring a bus into the community, and we'd go in the bus and we'd just meet with people next to the Needle Exchange where we could talk with folk in addiction. I began to feel that God was doing something in my own heart about how do we respond to the huge needs of those in addiction in Glasgow, and particularly in the East End of Glasgow and in Parkhead. And so I began to serve there. God gave me a heart for people in addiction and into recovery. But I felt that there was something more. By this time, I was doing a little bit of leading in the church in other ways and speaking and preaching. And in summer of 1996, I was having this real internal wrestle about what was going to happen, because I was now going from third year into fourth year. I'd graduate after fourth year. And I thought, what on earth am I going to do? And I had this internal wrestle that was going on, which was I was loving what I was doing. Absolutely loving it. Loving what looked like pastoral work, loved the occasional time when I got to preach in the church, loved teaching in, with the young people, loved leading in the service. But here's the thing. All the stories I've ever heard of people talking about being ministers or pastors went something like this. "The last thing I ever wanted to be was a pastor, but God called me." I just think, oh, that's awful, because all I want to do. I feel that there's this great desire. And secretly, I carried this. Just trying to work out, well, what did this mean? One Sunday morning, there was a lady who she's an old stalwart, spiritual stalwart in the church, prayer warrior. And she came up to me one Sunday morning. And she came over and she was kind of wagging her finger, which is never a good sign in the East End of Glasgow when an old lady comes over and wags her finger. And she says, "You've been in my mind all week. Can't get you out of my mind. And the Lord's given me a scripture for you." She said, Psalm 37, verse 4. I have no idea what it means, but it says this: delight yourselves in the Lord, and he will give you what? The desires of your heart. Bang, as soon as she said it, I knew exactly what it meant. That God had placed a desire in my heart that had come from him. That wasn't something that precluded me from entering into preaching and pastoring. It was, in fact, what he'd given me to enter into all of this. And the way that that verse works is really important. First of all, delight yourself in God. These are not just kind of some kind of natural desires, because some of them are dangerous and difficult, just the natural desires. This is things that God has deposited in our hearts, because Christ is in us, and the Spirit of God is in us. And in delighting in the Lord, we give him space to put things in our heart. Delighting in God in worship, in prayer, in serving, in doing, and building our relationship with us. And God is at work within us. First of all, that's a starting point. Delight yourself in the Lord. And as we do, God does things in our heart. God-given desires, God-shaped, God-inspired. Not just any old desires, but something that comes from God. And that's what he'll use in those heart desires of yours to lead you into things that you're passionate about. So in some ways, I'm still passionate about young people, although I don't do much with young people ever anymore. Still do quite a bit with an addiction and recovery. But passions that have driven through my life into these areas, what's your God-given passion? Have you even considered what it might be? And sometimes we do have to keep a check on the desires of our heart, because some of the desires that we have are not godly. They're not God-given. They sometimes wrestle with the ones that are. Or sometimes there's a tendency to let our heart slip into ungodly desires rather than just God-given desires. Again, I'll share my own story. Sometimes when I'm speaking in other places, particularly with other pastors, I talk about the fact that I am a recovering church growth pastor. So in the 1990s, particularly as I was learning and studying and being influenced by others around me in the church, there was this big move, church growth movement, about just being bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Man, that tied right into my ego. Wouldn't it be great to have a church of 100, 200, 500, 1,000, 2,000? And all the kind of reading and books and things like that. How do you break the 200 barrier? How do you break the 500 barrier? How do you break the 1,000 barrier? Man, that'll tap right into an ego. Wouldn't it be great if we had a church that size? But in reality, what it led me to was to try and build my own kingdom, my own empire, rather than just serving God. This became for me what I call my shadow mission. Actually, it's the thing that took me away from what God really wanted to do. All I was thinking about was, how can we break the next barrier? A shadow mission. And what happened was that it led me to frustration and comparison and competition with other church leaders and pastors and churches, inferiority, insecurity, exhaustion, and eventually burnout. It was really birthed in my own desires, not the God-given ones. Tapped into my ego rather than God-given desires. Here's what Matthew 6:19-21 says. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, in these years, you know, it wasn't that God had somehow removed himself from my heart. Just my heart had been focused on a different type of treasure. And it led to burnout. And so I had to take a year out on sabbatical, and God straightened me out, thank God. You see, in some ways, I was on the right ladder. The gifts that God had given me, some of the passions that he'd given me, the way he'd shaped me. But I placed the ladder against the wrong wall. And in trying to get to the top of the wrong wall, I just about killed myself. Why? Because I'd shifted from a kingdom-focused heart passions to my own ego desire, heart and passions. Right ladder, wrong wall. My success, my status, my glory, my empire. What can I build instead of God's glory for his kingdom? And I'm not the only one. Bill Hybels, who pastored a church in Chicago, Willow Creek it was called. He pastored a church of tens of thousands. And he wrote a book called Reveal. And in his book, Reveal, he spoke about the fact that he had given and the church had given all their time to building this enormous organization. But they'd missed key things about being the kingdom of God and helping people find their way in following Jesus. And sadly, his story didn't end particularly well. Sometimes a desire for our own personal success, comfort, glory, my kingdom, displaces the passions that God has given us that are meant for his glory and his kingdom. And so we need to keep focused on the God-given desires of our heart for his kingdom and his glory rather than our own. So let me go to the next slide. Thanks, Laura. Some of you will be familiar with these three letters, KPI. Those of you in the business world, I don't know if they still use these in the business world, but anyone know what they are? Key performance indicators. You know, so how well are you doing in relation to your key performance indicators? Well, I want to suggest a different KPI for us as we think about our heart, and it's this: kingdom purpose indicators. If we thought about that in how we work and live and relate to others and lead and bless and do the things that we do. A different set of KPIs, something that keeps the kingdom of God, the way God works, at the center, so that we don't get distracted to building our own kingdom and our own empires. Actually, you could put a few P's in there. You could put purpose, performance, presence, practice, passion. But just bringing it back to God's heart, God's kingdom, God's ways. Otherwise, we might end up with the right ladder against the wrong wall. And then when we get there, we realize we built the wrong thing. So in the Abbey of Gethsemane, which is a monastery in Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, God started to deal with this ego of mine in a different way. And I can remember it very clearly. I was sitting on a seat on a set of stairs, or landing on a set of stairs outside, and there was a railing right beside me. And what I noticed is, as I looked out in this railing, it looked as though I was in prison behind bars. And he said to me, as I was praying, he said, "Ian, will you go back to Parkhead And will you go back to that church? And will you go back to that community? And will you serve them and love them and bless them, even if I never give you your church of 100 or 200 or 500 or 1,000? If suppose you got none of that, would you still go back and serve? And in that moment, I said to God, I'll go back. Whatever it takes, I'll go back. And supposing we see none of that, I'll go back. And so I went back in 2008. And we made that commitment to just do what God's kingdom does and entrust everything else to Him. Best thing we ever did. It was all for Him. And if He gave us 100 and 200 and 500 and 1,000, that was up to God. If He gave us nothing, we would still do what He called us to do. But God is generally faithful. And when we do our bit for His glory, He does His. Is that my time for finishing? Now everyone's setting their alarms for us. If He's not done in 5 minutes. Your God-given heart passions often indicate who and where God wants you to work, serve, and bless. He places something in your heart and you think, why would I do anything else? And why would I do anything else but there? Wild horses couldn't have held me back heading back to Parkhead. In fact, honestly, I thought I would be in the east end of Glasgow for all my life. It was a shock to Carolyn and I when God said it's time to shift. And I ended up here. And you're stuck with us because at the moment, wild horses wouldn't take me away from being here. Oh, thank you. Thank you to my plant in the congregation. Because when you discover what God really wants you to do, when He gives you that heart desire to do with God and for God, then we'll begin to use those God-given passions to contribute into God's kingdom, His ways, His purposes, His restoration of the world. And it won't be about us, it will be about Him. Kingdom performance, purpose, presence, indicators. Keeping our heart desires aligned with God. Because sometimes my heart desires, my own ones, take me down the line of ego and pride and building my own empire. Who and where? About seven or eight years ago, we had four young 20-something women who came to me and said, Ian, we've been looking into some things that are happening in our community. There's a lot of things happening in the east end of Glasgow. And we had become aware of some of them. We became aware that some of the houses and the flats in our street were being used for trafficking. It was right on our doorstep. And these four 20-something women came to me and said, we can't stand back and do nothing. And they said, we'd like to start an organization. We'd like to start something, a ministry, anything that can respond to human trafficking in Glasgow. And so they began to connect with some other people in the city, and they began what is now called Restore Glasgow. And their kind of line, or strap line, is making Glasgow inhospitable to trafficking. Isn't that great? Making Glasgow inhospitable to trafficking. And so they set about, God had placed something in their hearts, and they've developed this kind of group that is focused on changing the direction and the awareness of people in Glasgow about human trafficking right on their doorstep. What happened? They heard a God-given heartbeat to do something about the wrong in society, for them to do good, for them to trust God with whatever He was going to do, but for them to follow the passion, the heart passion that He had given them. And that's what they did. In the same way that for me in the early days it was youth, and then it was addiction. Sometimes God moves us on to a new thing. What has God deposited in your heart? What God-given desires? Have you even thought about it? You asked God for them. What's a thing that moves you? Because maybe that will determine to whom and where you might work or serve or bless in the life of the church, in your career, in your profession. What is it that God has stirred in your heart? And sometimes those heart stirrings come from our own experience, whether directly or indirectly. You know, indirectly, these young 20-something girls had discovered what was happening in the community, and they said, no, not on our watch. Not where we're here. And that passion, that God-given heart desire drove them to do something about it. Indirectly. Then there's others who, people who are here, who are in recovery from addiction. They've had personal experience of all of that. And now God seems to have shifted in their heart a passion to do something in recovery, with recovery, and for people in addiction. People who've experienced loss or illness or unemployment or business struggles or bullying. God redeems those things, and we're going to talk about that in a few weeks' time. Jeff is going to take us through that. He redeems those things and then uses them for good with others. Why? Because you have experience of them. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. That's great, isn't it? The God who comforts us in all our troubles, whether it's loss or addiction or struggle with business or bullying or whatever it is, the God who comforts us in all our troubles, but it doesn't finish there. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. God redeems even the worst places of our life and then can use them for good to others. And sometimes our heart passions that God gives us come out of the experience of life that we've had. Who better to comfort those who mourn than those who've bereaved? Who better to comfort those who are walking through serious illness than those with serious illness? Who better to help with youth because they remember what it was like being a young person? And youth work is not just for young people. I'm going to give a shout out to our youth leaders here. They're always looking for others, even if you're a bit older, even if you're a good bit older. What is God stirring in your heart? And we got some folk out there who actually secretly, you do really love young people and you really love to work with them, but you're just a little bit scared, just in case young people are, in fact, a bit scary. Trust God. What's the heart desire that God has shaped into you? Other ministries are available in the church if you would like to serve in them also. A little shout out for our young people just now. Discovering our heart desire, our God-given desires in our heart, often help us think about who and where we might serve or work or career in the church. It's why one of the reasons why we have a new recovery church starting here, because a group of people said, we can do no other except to work in this area. That's why we have some people next week who are going to talk a little bit about fostering. Why? Because there's something. God's given them a desire to follow in this direction and to trust God with whatever he does. And it may well be that God has already placed that in your heart. And he might begin to show you needs around you in those areas. So here's some ways, and this is in the SHAPE course. If you're doing the SHAPE course either in a group or on your own, here's some things. He might begin to show you spiritual needs that may need to be met, or physical needs, or relational, or emotional, or educational, or vocational, or financial needs. Now, you can't meet them all, but once you work out your who and your where because of the passion that's in you, You might be able to think, do you know what, I might be shaped to help meet physical needs or spiritual needs or relational. And maybe there's others who have that same passion, but you know, you might be able to meet physical needs, but they are able to meet educational or financial needs. And somehow we begin to work together. So here's a couple of questions for you as we finish. What's your cause? What's your kingdom cause? What's your God-given passion that stirs within you a cause, a kingdom cause that you're going to conquer with others? Because he'll want to join you with others. What's the kingdom cause that you're going to conquer? Because God has placed a heart desire within you. What cause will you and God and others conquer? Because you can't do it on your own. Let's go back to Psalm 37. Next slide. Take delight in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Then commit your ways to the Lord. Trust him. And he'll do this. He'll make your righteous reward shine like the dawn. Something will happen. Your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. If you're not sure what your God-given desires of the heart are, what your heartbeat is from God, find him, seek him, listen for him. Ask him to show you, to fill you. Ask him to cause this heart of yours to beat. Seek God, listen for him, until you discover your heart passion, and then go after it. Worship team, will you come and join us? So what will you do? John Eldridge wrote a book called Weld at Heart, and he said this: if you had permission to do what you really wanted to do, what would you do? Just start making a list of all the things you deeply desire to do with your life, great and small. And remember, don't ask yourself how. How is a faithless question. How is God's department? He's asking you what? What is written on your heart? What makes you come alive? Hearing your heartbeat. Discovering the God-given desires of your heart. Lord, as we come to sing and worship and to once again give ourselves over to you, would you come by your Spirit and stir our heart and reveal what your heart passion for us is so that we can follow it with all our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us? Thank you.